David Henry Hwang's new play, Golden Child, is based on stories his grandmother told him about her childhood in China growing up in the 1920s. Hwang made tape recordings of his grandmother when he was just 10 years old. Her father, a wealthy merchant with three contentious wives, was the first in Hwang's family to convert to Christianity. David Henry Hwang has written a number of plays, screenplays, and libretti, including the Broadway hit M. Butterfly, which won a Tony Award in 1988. Golden Child is slated to open on Broadway on April 2nd. Hwang says he realized in researching this play that his great-grandfather's conversion to Christianity was part of a larger social movement in China at the beginning of this century.
You know, in China, in that period, right after the Manchu dynasty fell and the republic was set up, I think a lot of forward-thinking Chinese were grappling with the question, well, what is a model for the new China? And in trying to find ways by which the society can move ahead, people tended to gravitate towards Western models. Some people gravitated towards Marxism, some people gravitated toward Christianity, and some people a combination of both. So that Christianity at that point was actually as much a means to move ahead in social progress in the minds of some Chinese as it was a religion. And I think that the play attempts to make the distinction between Tiang Bin, the father, the patriarch figure, who goes into Christianity for reasons which perhaps are more social and practical and political, and then the impact that it has on his daughter, the character that would be my grandmother as a young girl. And that same ideology, the way that it impacts on a young child's mind to make it a more sort of fundamentalist, more extreme kind of version of the religion.
Your father converted to Protestantism before your parents married. Did that resonate in any way in your family? Also, was there any conflict in their marriage or in your family over religion?
No, because my father sort of just said it was okay. I mean, there wasn't. He didn't really put up that much of a fuss. My father was, you know, came to the States. I mean, both my parents are immigrants. My father came to the States, and he was interested in becoming Western. He was sort of in love with America. He wanted to be in America, and so the idea of becoming a Christian didn't seem to be that difficult for him. I have to say that subsequently, it's. I mean, at the time that I stopped becoming a Christian, or, you know, became dead again, as it were, in college, I thought, well, this is such a radical move, and it's so, you know, it's really horrible, because I'm the oldest in my generation. Nobody had ever done this thing before. But since that time, various others of my family members, including my father, have sort of slacked off. So I don't know, you know, I guess it might have been more important to my father at one point in his life than it is now.
What did it mean to your father to, quote-unquote, be an American?
I think that he saw it as a way of being... I think he equated success probably with being an American. That is, he was a second son of his father and therefore wouldn't have gotten as much as his older brother. And so he saw America as a place to go to get his, as it were, and that perhaps he always felt that he was falling short of the mark of what it means to be an American until he actually did achieve some success in his business. And then ironically enough, I think now that he's achieved some success, he's maybe less interested in what it means to be an American.
Growing up, did you really want to just be American, not a Chinese American?
I would actually say that I wasn't even that aware of being Asian when I was growing up. On the other hand, it always strikes me that as interesting, you know, that one of the things, if I would see an Asian character on television or something, I would always immediately change the channel. Or if I knew that there was, you know, that there was going to be a movie with an Asian theme, I wouldn't go see that movie. And I think even then I was feeling the kind of disjunction between these images, which would be associated with me because I knew they looked like me and yet did not seem to be me. and that therefore the conflict between one's outer self and one's inner self. And I think it's natural that as a kid, you know, you sort of want to be like everybody else.
If you're just joining us, my guest is playwright David Henry Hwang. He won a Tony Award for M. Butterfly. His new work, Golden Child, is slated to open on Broadway on April 2nd. You're perhaps best known for writing M. Butterfly. It's based on the story, for those of you who don't remember, of a French diplomat who carried on an affair for nearly 20 years with a male Chinese spy who the diplomat believed or claims he believed to be a woman. What first drew you, David, to the story? Was it the political and the cultural elements or the sexual issues?
Well, I think when you hear a story like that, which I did at a cocktail party, I mean, it's actually the sort of story one would hear at a cocktail party, it's so intriguing. I don't know if it was the political issues or the sexual issues initially. It's just as a story, it makes you go, well, you know, the diplomat claims he didn't know his lover was actually a man. Well, how could he not know? As I started to get into it, I didn't actually research it very much. First of all, there wasn't that much to be known. I mean, there had been a sort of a press release that had been published through in the New York Times, which then had gotten picked up, I think, by other wire services. So any place you looked, I just found the same information that was in the New York Times article. But I thought about the question a lot, and it just seemed one of the things that struck me initially was that the story seemed oddly credible. Although one's initial reaction is, well, this is an impossible story, there was another part of me that felt that this made sense.
When you say the more you thought about it, the more credible it seemed to you, what made it credible?
I guess it's that I feel like there's so much, there's so much misunderstanding between East and West, and so much kind of sexual stereotyping that goes on, as well as other sorts of stereotyping, that in some way it seemed to me that a mistake of this magnitude was almost inevitable. That, you know, I think we, as Asians, we're aware of that there's, you know, what are called guys with yellow fever, which is, you know, white guys who are, like, really interested in Asian women. And in the gay community, there's, I think there are gay men who are really interested in gay Asian men. At least at the time, there was a slang term for them called rice queens. So there's always been this sort of sexual fascination on the part of the West on for the East, and a sort of feminization of the East, which is part of the whole allure. Which is typified by Madame Butterfly. I mean, Madame Butterfly is sort of the template for the whole idea of this submissive Asian woman who's self-sacrificing and who wants to be abused on some level, and the appeal that has for men and for the West.
Because the stereotype is so compelling?
Yeah, because the stereotype blinds you to seeing the actual person. It's one carries on an affair with the stereotype rather than carrying on an affair with a human being.
Have you in your life found yourself fighting against the expectations of what Asians are supposed to be? For instance, good at math or science or music?
Yeah, I actually was a violinist, so I sort of fell into that category. But I think sometimes I wonder if some of the decisions that I've made in life are not simply reactive. I mean, there's, you know, I've made the decision to be a writer, for instance, partially because it was something that would go against the expectations, go against the stereotype of what people might expect of me. I mean, I don't know how much truth there is to that. But in general, I find it kind of interesting if I drive onto the Paramount lot or something and somebody assumes that I'm there to fix the computer. There are things that we carry with us, and people make these assumptions, and I think I fight them the same way that all sorts of people fight different assumptions that are made about them.
You wrote a farce a few years ago called Face Value.
Right.
And it was inspired by the controversy over the Broadway musical Miss Saigon and the casting of a white actor in the role of a Eurasian. I'm curious whether for you in your plays, it was always a policy to cast a Chinese-American actor to play the role of a Chinese character.
I have always had a policy, but that's not actually exactly the policy. The policy for me is to cast Asians as Asians. In other words, if I have a Chinese-American character, it doesn't matter to me if the actor is, you know, of Korean descent or of Japanese descent or whatever. And I sort of make the analogy between white actors. That is, if you're casting, if you're doing Sophie's Choice, you can cast Meryl Streep in that role, and she doesn't have to be Eastern European. And similarly, I feel that that situation should apply to Asian actors as well. Now, I mean, ideally, it seems to me that anybody should be able to play anything. And this has always felt to me like sort of like the question of affirmative action, which is that, you know, ideally, one, there shouldn't be any laws that have to do with race, and we should be able to live in a completely colorblind society. But I don't think we're there yet in the case of affirmative action or in the case of this of casting.
Now, writing about non-Asian topics for the theater, do you feel that you're taking a risk or that your critics look at it in terms of here is our self-appointed Asian American theater authority tackling a non-Asian topic?
Well, you know, at this point in my life, I'm just so grateful to have an idea for a play. I can't really censor myself and say, well, this is an Asian one or this is a non-Asian one. I've just got to go write it. And yeah, I mean, perhaps there are critics in certain circumstances that might say, well, this, you know, David Hwang is the official Asian American playwright, and therefore he should only do this Asian American stuff. But frankly, I have not found that to be the case. I mean, certainly most of the plays that I've done have had some sort of Asian content to them. On the occasions when I haven't, the pieces I've done with Philip Glass, for instance, you know, if critics have had problems with the work one way or another, I don't think anyone has mentioned that it's because I was kind of ethnically incorrect for the job. And there's an interesting thing, I think, that is happening in terms of Asian artists, writers, directors, producers, people behind the camera or behind the scenes, which is that, I mean, if you look at the film industry, for instance, a lot of Asian directors now are not being considered so much in terms of their ethnicity. They're almost being treated the way that European directors were treated a generation ago. If you know, for instance, the idea of Ang Lee doing Sense and Sensibility or Wayne Wang doing Smoke or John Woo doing Face Off, these directors are not a typecast in terms of their ethnicity. And I find it, I think that's a good thing. And I mean, I certainly make most of my living as a screenwriter, and I find I'm able to get jobs, as it were, which do not have anything to do with my ethnicity. So that's good in a sense. But I also contrast that with the way that many African-American directors still tend to get slotted into black projects. And I think the disparity is kind of interesting, and it makes me sort of wonder why. And the only thing that I've sort of been able to come up with is that Asians have, that part of our baggage of stereotypes that we carry is this notion of kind of being very artistic and being very, you know, aesthetic, and therefore, perhaps under that mindset, Asians have been given more liberty to be kind of honorary whites in that situation than as many African American directors have.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
David Henry Hwang's new play, Golden Child, opens on Broadway next month.